Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Realtors have a couple of nifty little sayings, one of which is location, location, location. But one of the ones that I've kind of focused on is this one about never show an empty house. Because an empty house has a couple of problems. First off, it seems to have no life in it. You know, without the furniture and the decorations, it seems to be just cold, and it doesn't really invite people in. You know, there's something lacking if the house is not filled with something that gives it character. And the second is, realtors, like the rest of us, know the truth is, there is no such thing as an empty house. You leave a house alone for a little bit, and little critters, and sometimes not so little critters, will find their ways in. Nature has a way of reclaiming everything. And so if you think you leave your house blank, it's going to stay that way. No, it will be inhabited. And it may not be inhabited the way you like it. I'd like you to keep that image of the empty house and the things that fill them as we look again at the scripture lessons in this Sunday in Reformation and perhaps a little bit at our world around us. Because I think there is a common theme here about what it means to leave your house empty and what it means to have it full of goodness. Our lessons speak to this. In the Old Testament lesson, we were reminded that God gave the law not as a burden to people, not meant to weigh them down and to be a heavy pain, but as a way of organizing life. It was meant to be a blessing. But human beings, having created now this little bit of order, couldn't stand still. They created the space that used to be that uneasiness with law and punishment and anger upon people, burdening them. So God made a new covenant with them. Throughout the Bible, he makes new covenants with them, where he says, you will no longer have to learn. You will know the Lord. That is, you will have a personal connection to God, and that grace of God that touches your life will help guide your way. That is, the love of God will guide your understanding, not your understanding guide God's ways. You'd think that would have done it. You get to Jesus time. He has these arguments with the people around him who still want to fill the empty spaces that Jesus has liberated from the burdens of the past with stuff that's not good for them. They want to talk about the law. They want to talk about tradition. They want to talk about these things as though they determine what we are and what God does. And Jesus says, the truth will set you free, but what freedom will you have? Are you freed only from things? Or are you freed to things? That's the essential part of the whole thing about the Reformation, is it's not just about being free from, it's being free to. Because when Luther came around and the other reformers, Zwingli, Calvin, there were a bunch of them, it wasn't just Martin Luther. Their idea was to relieve people from this burden of trying to prove themselves to God. Trying to be worthy. Because basically when they looked at Scripture, they went, that don't fly, that don't work, none of us. As it says in our lesson, second lesson today, none of us can stand before God because we all fall short of the mark. So why are we worrying ourselves? Why are we comparing ourselves to each other? Why are we trying to say, I'm better than this person or this person is that person? Why are we not free from that? And then what will we do with our freedom? That's been the issue for those of us who have been part of the Reformation. We got the part where we got free. We say, quite proudly, we are saved by grace apart from works of the law. But we don't say what we are free to be able to be. And without that, we are like those empty houses. Like those empty houses that soon get filled with kinds of critters we don't like. That fill the space that should be filled for something else. Because this notion of freedom is to be freed from the stuff that burdens us. To be able to be free to be vehicles of God's grace in this world. That's the freedom. The freedom is not to have any responsibility, not to just kind of kick around. And people try to twist Luther into that. To say, well, I don't have to do anything. I'm saved by grace. Well, you don't have to do anything. But if you've been touched by God's love, if this grace of God is so powerful that it overcomes all our failings and shortcomings and the burdens and the pains of this world, how can you not be moved by it? How can you receive a gift and not be changed? I'm talking about a real gift. You've ever received a totally unexpected, undeserved gift that just went, wow, how can you not be the same? How can you be the same if you truly accept the gift? That's what the Reformation was supposed to do. It's why Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Lutheran theologian, once said, we won the battle, but we lost the war. Because we forgot to emphasize that once this God has got at work with us, things are never the same. That God is at work, not just stopping to liberate us from the burdens of our sins, but freeing us to be constantly renewed, restored, reactive, ever-forming reformation, to more and more that God's grace be at work among us. C.S. Lewis put it this way once. He said, you know, when we think God's at work with us, we imagine God has a little bitty cottage, maybe, that he wants to work on. But when God sees us, God sees a palace. And so God's not content to just change a little something here and there. We're okay with that. God wants to rip out the walls, get back to the foundation, throw new buildings up, add expansions. We don't like that. Now, how many of you have ever done a major renewal, reform, building of a house? It's a pain in the you-know-what, isn't it? And you wonder sometimes in the middle of it if it's ever going to get done, if I'm ever going to have my kitchen or whatever it is back again. And it's not fun, except till you get to the end. Like our building over here, Tom, you get a lot of, you know a lot of this, you dealt with a lot of it. It's just a royal pain, but when you get done, you go, oh, look what we accomplished. More than we probably thought we would when we started out. This is how Lewis says God's at work in our lives. God's not doesn't content with a little bit of us. He wants to transform us. He wants to change us. He just doesn't want to take away the burdens of our life. He wants to give us more and more grace, help us grow and more into this true freedom, to be able to be freed from, but freed to service, caring, compassion, grace. That's our total remodel. Since it's a blessing, because see, we tend to narrow what we think we and others can be. We like to put things into a little box and not take chances. But God, he's not into that. He's into ripping out the walls and filling on expansions. He sees far more in us than we see in ourselves. That idea of the empty house also resonated with me this week in the events that happened in our country. We have freedoms. I don't want to take our freedoms away. But we also have to ask the honest question, are we just free from things, or are we free to things? Are we going to allow prejudice, anti-Semitism, and things like that to dominate without challenge? Are we going to say our freedom is a challenge for us to be better in our treatments of each other? To use Lincoln's terminology, the better angels of ourselves. I think the church is a place we can start. Because we don't all agree on everything in these walls. Come on, let's be honest. But I don't think we come to the point of anger or violence to one another. We learn to deal with each other and to recognize that God's grace frees all of us and gives all of us the ability to be vehicles of goodness too. It's a challenge. We've seen that as a country this week, how much of a challenge it can be to try to live in freedom but also in grace with one another. And I'd like to see us in the church begin to reclaim our reformation. That reformation of being free not just from, but to set a tone for the dialogues we have with each other. To be willing to let God change us and be open to new ideas and expressions that we might learn to live with one another. Because we don't earn our salvation, nor are we better than anyone else in God's eyes, no matter what classifications we put on people. But God's grace can remodel, tear down the walls, prejudice, ignorance inside each and every one of us. It hurts a little bit, like a remodeling a house. But in the end, we go, whoa, imagine what God can do through us. A number of years ago, I was given the opportunity, and I do have to say they haven't let anybody else do that since then, of modeling a Synod assembly. I think I may have gone a little too far. But I was working with some people. We came up with a theme, Pardon Our Dust, Children of God under Construction. And so we did everything with sounds of banging and clanging. We wore hard hats. We tried to talk about how God is still at work in each of us. That we can't give up on each other. We can't get frustrated and disappointed with where we are now because we're not finished. We're still under construction. And I think we probably did go a little too far with that. But that's what I want us to think about today. We're still under construction. We're still children of God, under development. And God's grace has not just freed us from the burdens of the past, but freed us to be able to be changed into where God needs to get us to go. And when we're done, despite the dust we may wipe off ourselves at the end of construction, God will be at work through us. We can be, as imperfect as we are, visible signs of His kingdom. And the way we treat each other, the way we act, the things we promote, the things we do, the living and grace and harmony of our differences, we can laugh off some of the dust and recognize God's power at work. But we are free. Not just free from, but free to be people under instruction. Amen.
Amen. Amen.